Good morning, Gilda.
Hi, good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for letting me drag you away from your coffee this morning.
I haven't even had time to make it
yet. Oh, man, that's just cruel and inhumane. I apologize.
That's okay.
Well, let's talk about those four bills that were signed. Tell us about them in your perspective.
Well, you know, we knew that they were going to be signed, but I have to be honest, I'm very disappointed that this is the direction that the legislature is going at a time when Michigan is hurting so much. You know, I don't have to tell you what the statistics are in terms of what's going on in our state. In fact, the league over the last couple of months has published a lot of reports that really highlight that no matter how you want to spin it, we've got some huge problems in this state. We have child poverty up by 64%. Our unemployment still is hovering around 11% higher than the rest of the nation. We are not creating the jobs that we need to try to transition people into jobs. So, you know, my concern is we now have a cliff. Well, we always really did have this 48-month cliff. You know, as you know, I was in the legislature. We did welfare reform a number of years ago under the Engler administration, but there was discretion that workers had because these are extraordinary, unusual, difficult times. So while I'm glad that there are some of those exemptions that were put in, the ability to transition to work, even with the soft landing that the department is trying very hard to prepare, it's almost mythical because, you know, you can't, after 3 months, transition into a job that doesn't exist. So people still really need some support from the state.
Gilda, when we've talked about this before, there's two questions that always come up. And I want you to address them again now that we've had some time to see some of these bills be signed and see how they may affect us. Number one, it is a fact that there are many folks who have been on this type of assistance for years. There are generations of families that have been on welfare. As we've discussed before, these benefits with this four-year cap can be extended. But what can we do to keep the cost down by getting these benefits to the people who need them and the people who aren't trying to get educated, who aren't trying to get retrained?
Well,
how do we address that? There's
some myths there. Sure. Are there some people where there have been generations of folks that have been on assistance? Yeah, I would say that there are some folks. But this is the myth. The average person that's on cash assistance, or the average, you know, case, is on cash assistance for 15 months. And people will cycle in and out of sort of poverty and the need to have additional help. So the majority of the people that are receiving assistance, you know, are not, you know, generational people who are trying to game the system. If you take a look at the average age of the child that's in the caseload that is going to no longer get this assistance, which is mostly used for rent, you know, understand folks will still be able to have Medicaid, they'll still be able to qualify for food stamps, but most of this is rent money. And the average age of a person who's going to be potentially kicked out of their home or their apartment is 7 years old, is a second grader. Now, you know, we have to be sure that we don't harm the kids when we make sweeping policies, and that's what concerns me.
What about the state's claim that there are a number of programs that can be the safety net for these people?
Well, there are some programs, and my concern is sort of they're not enough. I don't think that I was at a meeting last week to address the caseload in Wayne County in the Detroit area, and how the community will be able to absorb some of the folks that are going to be coming off of assistance. And you know, a question was asked to a room full of people. Well, you know, how many of you can provide rental assistance? Nobody's hand went up. Now, There was some discussion about some pots of money that can be used that are out there, but you know the churches don't have money to provide any kind of ongoing help for thousands of people possibly may be homeless. You know, within the next couple of months, coming on winter, October 1st is the fall. Winter is close behind, and even the utility companies, as good as they have been trying to be to set up payment schedules and things like that for folks, it's not their responsibility to provide utilities to people.
Well, we've been talking specifically about Public Acts 131, 132. There are a couple of other bills that are going to take effect, but it really comes back to, in these trying economic times, where do you find the funding for this, especially when business isn't contributing as much as it has in the past? Where do we find the money, Gilda?
And that's a great question, Tony. The idea behind the major tax cuts and benefits to businesses, and businesses are now paying somewhere between 83-86% less in taxes, with the idea, sort of the trickle-down effect, that it will create jobs. Well, what's happened as the economy is starting to implode a little bit and the stock market is going down every day, businesses are very nervous about making investments. They're nervous about hiring people. They're nervous about, even if they're putting cash in their pockets as profit, going out and spending that money in the economy. So I don't see right now the economic stimulus to our state with the tax cuts. And this is something we're going to have to follow very, very carefully. You know, we're going to need to see if these tax cuts is really changing the trajectory in our state. And also, we're going to need to follow the lives of the people who are now no longer able to qualify for assistance.
All right, thanks, Gilda. I've got to get to break.
Okay,
Thank
Tony.
You.
Thanks. Bye-bye.